Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be looking at the section of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that we heard earlier. Here, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, and I want to draw out 3 points from this: the gift of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and that they are given to serve. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Did you know that Pentecost, meaning 50th in Greek, was originally a Jewish feast? It's also known as the Feast of Weeks, occurring 50 days from the Passover. It's a celebration that remembers the giving of the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and the establishment of Israel as God's people. How fitting that it now becomes for us the celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit, who marks us as God's people and guides us in all truth. Many people would come to Jerusalem on pilgrimage to celebrate this occasion. We see this in the list of different peoples that heard the apostles speaking in their native languages on that first Christian Pentecost. The apostles, having been told by Christ to wait in the city until they were clothed with power from on high, were now filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaimed the mighty works of God in the tongues of all those gathered in the city. The gift of the Spirit had been given as promised, and the advocate, counselor, helper, and guide would now empower the believers to proclaim the risen Christ, bringing many to faith. 3,000 on that day alone. Peter tells us towards the end of that second chapter of Acts that we now receive the Holy Spirit in baptism. Paul reiterates this in his letter, saying that we were all baptized by one Spirit and given one Spirit to drink. He also wants us to know that the Spirit doesn't come to us empty-handed, but brings many of his own gifts to his people. Paul begins chapter 12 by saying he doesn't want the Corinthians to be uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit. He reminds them that previously they were led astray by mute idols, human creations unable to speak. He contrasts this with the Holy Spirit, who not only speaks of his own accord, but by his primary gift, that of faith, enables us to speak that which we could never say of our own initiative, that Jesus is Lord. Paul thus sets the stage for his discussion on the gifts of the Spirit based on this point. Paul reminds them that there are many different gifts, but that they are all just that, gifts. As we know, a gift is something that is freely given. It is not earned in any way, otherwise it is no longer a gift, but a payment. In the reception of a gift, there is no room for pride. Instead, as we try to teach our children, all we should do is humbly receive it with thanksgiving. This is how we need to view the gifts of the Spirit. You see, the Corinthians had become quite puffed up with some of the more fantastical gifts that had been displayed among them. Paul wants to particularly address an overemphasis on the gift of speaking in tongues. It seems the Corinthians were so enthralled by the experience of this gift that they had allowed it to become common practice in their services. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues is a good thing. Paul says he wishes everyone could have it. The thing is, it primarily edifies the person who has it, and as such, Paul warns they should not be uttered in a congregation willy-nilly. Unless tongues can be interpreted for the benefit of the whole community, they serve no purpose there. After all, he says, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that we are out of our minds? In going on, Paul lists some of the gifts, beginning with messages of wisdom and of knowledge. It seems that most think this knowledge is our understanding of the faith, our confessions, the creed, the facts that constitute what we believe. whereas wisdom appears to be the ability that some people have to express and teach these well to others. He puts these first as they are the things that Paul wants to emphasize as being the bread and butter of the church. We then hear about the gift of faith. Paul isn't talking about the saving faith that we all share as believers. Rather, he's identifying a particular kind of faith, one that seems miraculous in itself. A faith that, when we see it in others, inspires and encourages us in our own journey. What an incredible gift this is. Paul then goes into the miracles of healing and other powers, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and finally, speaking and interpreting tongues. These are the ones that tend to catch our attention the most, aren't they? We've read or heard of, or indeed even experienced, miraculous accounts of healing and intervention, freedom from possession or addiction, and words or prompts that guide us in our decisions. We know, are, or have heard of those who experience the phenomenon of tongues. These are incredible gifts, but we must remember that they are just that. Gifts. It's important to know also that the list Paul presents here is not exhaustive. We read elsewhere that teaching, guidance, service, encouragement, giving, leading, and showing mercy are gifts of the same Spirit. We don't individually possess all these gifts, and the ones we do have may only be for a time. What Paul wants to stress about these gifts is not how fantastic they appear, how they make us feel, or how incredible it would be to be able to do some of these things. The true blessings of these gifts is in their purpose, given for the common good to be used in acts of service, in order to build up and encourage the whole church. To illustrate this point, Paul turns to a favourite analogy of his, the people of God as the body of Christ. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, he writes. Sadly, as they were among the Corinthians, these gifts of the Spirit have been turned into points of division in the body of Christ. Some gifts have been elevated above others, and some groups even hold that without a display of some of the most fantastic, faith is non-existent. And aren't we also tempted to look at others' gifts and be envious of them? This is why Paul began with the fact that it is only in the Spirit that we can say that Jesus is Lord. The best gift that we have, the gift above all gifts, is the Holy Spirit himself and the faith in Christ that he brings us. This faith unites us together as the body of Christ. It joins us together as one under him as our head. The Holy Spirit knows the gifts that will best serve the body of Christ and how they will be most effective in his role to testify about Jesus. If we do not have a particular gift, let us not be envious of those who do, but celebrate with them and receive their gifts for what they are, to build us up in this body of Christ. It is not wrong for us to desire the gifts the Spirit brings, and indeed Paul encourages us to long for the higher gifts that enable the word about Christ to spread and be heard and understood. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that they are the be-all and end-all of our faith. And if you have received one or more of these gifts, be wary of letting them separate you from your brothers and sisters in the faith, rather than strengthening the ties that bind us together. Instead, give thanks to God and use them for the common good to build up and edify the whole church of which you are a part. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to the church out of grace and love, empowered by the Father to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They join us together in common witness to him, our risen Lord. On this day of Pentecost, let us celebrate these gifts that are so liberally spread among us, and more so, let us give thanks to our Lord and God for giving us the gift of his Spirit, who brings us to faith in him and guides us into all truth. Even if we have no other gifts, This gift alone is all that we need to joyously proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and so have life in his name. Amen.